Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
In our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, today we're coming to a point that is a core part for us as followers of Jesus, right? What it looks like to take the Lord's Supper. But more specifically, how not to take the Lord's Supper. Did you know that there are ways that are not a good way to take the Lord's Supper? That's interesting, and that's what we're going to learn about today. As Christians, there are two things Jesus told us to do to identify ourselves as Jesus' followers, right? Two things. One of them is baptism, and the other one is the Lord's Supper. And what's interesting is each of these have very unique ways of displaying who we are in Christ. This two distinct and unique ways for us to identify with Jesus. Guys, I follow Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is the one who saved me, and I'm following after Him. I'm His. Each of these ways identify with Jesus very well. And so I want to take a couple of weeks to kind of focus in on these things to help us to see what the differences are in how we identify ourselves in baptism and the Lord's Supper. And then we're going to see a little bit more about how that all that works. So here's what's going to happen. Next week, we're going to look at baptism. How does baptism identify you as one who belongs to Jesus? And Lord willing, and the creek doesn't rise, we are going to be able to see that baptism displayed by two young men in our church family. So I'm super excited about that. So we're going to see baptism next week. And then the week after that, we're going to focus in on the Lord's Supper, how that helps us to identify with Jesus as ones who belong to Him. So for today, we are going to see that these are very special. These are very important things that we get to participate in as followers of Jesus. They aren't to be taken lightly. They are to be taken joyfully and thankfully, but not to be taken lightly or carelessly. And this is what the Corinthian church family was doing. They were taking it too lightly. They were taking it too carelessly, and it was not good. We've seen this characteristic of the Corinthian church being a little bit too self-centered in all different, and how that kind of displayed itself in all different kinds of ways. And this is also one of the ways that the Corinthian church family displayed its self-centeredness. They were all focused in on themselves, and how it ended up hurting the church family came in different ways. They hurt their relationships with one another. They hurt their relationship with Jesus. They hurt their testimony around the people, around the church. And now we're going to see that this actually, their self-centeredness, especially when it comes to the Lord's table, even hurt them in all those ways, but even beyond those, even physically. So we're going to see that today. So what was going on? What were they doing? How were they approaching the Lord's Supper? What can we learn from them about how not to do? Sometimes it's really important to learn things by watching somebody do it. Sometimes it's important to learn somebody how not to do something by seeing how they mess up, and they're like, and you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to see their effects in my life. So we can learn how not to take the Lord's Supper from the Corinthian church family. So let's go over this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 17 through 34, from 17 all the way to the end of the chapter. And here is what it says. Verse 17 says this. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. This is really interesting. Paul's like, there is an aspect of you guys in how you live life as a church that I cannot praise you for. You're gathering together. Now, normally, gathering together would be a good thing, right? Man, going to church, man, that's an awesome thing, right? But Paul says, I cannot praise you for how you gather. You guys, when you get together, it isn't helpful. In fact, it's hurtful. You guys are not doing a good job of gathering together. What's normally something that's good and helpful, they had caused to be harmful, not good at all. Verse 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. This is pretty interesting, isn't it? Paul was saying, listen, guys, there's divisions within you as a church family. You're supposed to be a body of Christ. What does it mean to be a body? That means all of your parts work together. They're unified. You're supposed to be a group of believers who are unified, who love Jesus together, who display that love by how you love one another and how you care for and how you serve one another. This is what you're supposed to be. But instead, you as a body of Christ are literally tearing up from the inside. You're ripping yourselves apart from the inside. What's interesting is remember in the very beginning of the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church family, he pointed out this a division among them. He said, remember, some of you guys, you're dividing among yourselves. Some of you are like all about who you follow. Some are followers of Paul. Some are followers of Apollos. Some are followers of Peter. You like all have your little different groups. And here again, he describes another kind of a division. This division is very, very hurtful. Verse 19 points out something interesting. It points out that sometimes, while division is not good, it's going to happen. Why? Verse 19 says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. What is this verse talking about? It's talking about how, first of all, let me say this. Being unified in a church is not easy. It takes work. You know what I mean? Like think brothers, like you guys have brothers, right? You all have brothers, right? I have brothers. I have three brothers. It is not easy working together and being nice to each other all the time. You know what I'm talking about? It's not easy, right? It takes work. Sometimes you have to be willing to let other people, let your brothers or sisters take things that you may not want them to have. Like, this is mine. Do I have to share it? Really, Mom? Really, Dad? I got to share this? Sometimes you have to be willing to be gracious. Sometimes you even have to have forgiveness for your brothers or your sisters. This is true within the church family as well. Sometimes it takes a lot of work. Sometimes it means you got to share things that you may not want to share. Sometimes you have to be willing to be gracious or to pull yourself back so that you can love brothers and sisters. Sometimes you have to be willing to forgive when they mess up or when they hurt you. This is part of what it means to be a family. It's part of learning to work together and letting the Holy Spirit lead us as we follow Him. But sometimes, and here's the thing. So as a family, as a body of Christ, sometimes in our desire to love God, to love one another, and to share the gospel with those around us, we may have different opinions in how we do that. Oh man, it would be so cool if we could show God's love in this way. Oh, but I want to show God's love in this way. This is an interesting way, and the Holy Spirit uses these different opinions to lead us and to guide us as the body of Christ to show love, His love towards one another and towards those around us. That's one kind of a working together, right? And we kind of work together through that. But there's an entire different kind of division that Paul is talking about. Sometimes divisions happen because while part of the church family is growing and working at loving God and loving those around them, while they're trying to do their best in following Jesus, others in the church don't have that desire. They don't want to work at it. They don't want to sacrifice. For them, it's easier to focus on what the church family can do for them rather than how they can serve Jesus and serve the church family. We have two groups of people, one who loves and follows Jesus, one who doesn't care at all, who has a different self-centered focus. And eventually, what's going to happen? One is serving and one is following Jesus and one is going their own way. There's going to be a split. There's going to be a division. And it reveals who's following after Jesus, who's working hard trying to follow after Jesus, and who's focused on themselves. That is what this verse is talking about. If you're following Jesus, it'll show up. And if you're not, if you're focused on yourself, that'll show up too. It's going to be revealed. And this is where Paul said, this kind of division is what was going on. One of the ways that this division was being revealed was at the Lord's Supper. You know how we take the Lord's Supper? That was one of the ways that that division, that split, was becoming evident and real in the life of the Corinthian church family. Here's what were they doing. Verse 20 and verse 21 says this. When ye come together, therefore, into one place. When you guys get together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. This, what you guys are doing, is nothing like what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be. This is basically what Paul's saying. Don't call that, what you're doing, the Lord's Supper, because that's not what you're doing, is basically what he's saying. Verse 21, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken. What was going on? Let me explain. One of the things the early church often did was share a meal together. You know how sometimes we do before COVID, where we would gather together, eat lunch together, and just gather around the table and fellowship and enjoy just being together. We'd share stuff. Hey, I got some of this stuff back in the garden. Here, let's take some of this. Oh, I got some potato chips from 7-Eleven. Here, come enjoy this. I got half an onigiri. You want half an onigiri? You know, I've only eaten one half, so the other side's really good, you know. That kind of stuff, right? We share a meal together, and that's what they did in the early church. Sharing a meal was a deep part of their culture. And for Christians, this meal was a special meal. Sometimes it was called the love feast, where we fellowship together, where we gather together as a church family, and we bring something to share with others. And they would all sit down. They would all be at the same level at the foot of the cross, all as ones who have been redeemed and forgiven by Jesus and sharing the fact that they are the body of Christ. Rich and poor would gather together. This was what it was meant to be. It was a sign of a bond that they had with those around them as those who were in Christ, the fellowship that they enjoyed. But for the Corinthian church family, it was entirely a different kind of a meal. When they gathered, there was no sharing. When they gathered, there was no bond of brotherhood being displayed. When they gathered, they would bring their meals, and instead of sharing with those around them, they would eat what they brought. Well, that's not that big of a deal, you would think, right? But here's the thing. Some of the rich guys would bring this massive, massive feast. It would be like you gather together at your supper table, And one of the boys would have like this awesome, like this like triple cheeseburger. Amazing. Like it has everything good on it. And it's sliced in between peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then you got like potato chips. And then you got like root beer and Coke and like all this stuff. And then you had like this ice cream sundae. And then you had some like cookies afterwards. And like, this was my supper. And then another brother comes in and all he gets is that other half of the half-eaten onigiri. Right? And one boy has to look at the other boy and he's just, oh man, this is so good. Oh, this is so good. Oh, you have is a little onigiri. Oh, that's too bad. Okay, well, I'll pray for you, whatever. And then he keeps on eating and keeps on eating. This is literally what the Corinthian church family was doing. Rich people were eating and gorging themselves, filling themselves up so full. And they were even to the point where they were getting drunk at the church at the church lunch. It was insane. And then while they're filling themselves up, other poor people who have to work hard, slaves, people who didn't have any money. All they could do was to gather together just a little bit of food. While they were watching all those guys eating all those fancy things, all they had was just like basically like a half an onigiri. And they're eating that. And so, and here's what's happening. The guys, the rich guys who are filling themselves up, look at that. All he's got is an onigiri. That's just insane. Man, whatever, man. Poor guy. Whatever. But there's no feeling of sorrow. There's ridicule. There's looking down on. And then the poor guy, he's eating his food. He's like, man, look at all that food they're eating. That's horrible. I'm starving. How could they be eating stuff like that? There was resentment. There was shame. It was not good. And this was how they ate their lunch together after the church gathering. It was not good at all. Verse 22, basically Paul says, guys, if that's how you're going to have lunch together, just eat at home. Don't even try to make this about each other. If that's how you're going to eat lunch, just don't even bring that stuff in here. He says, verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? Who's he talking about, the church of God? He's not talking about the building. He's not talking about this building that we gather in. The church of God is the people in it, right? Those brothers and sisters that are gathering together. You're despising them. Despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? Not happening. I praise you not. There's no way. This is where they were at. They were shaming them in their poverty instead of loving them by being one with them as they shared the meal together. Here they had a chance to be bonded together as brothers and sisters in Christ, but they didn't do it. It's nothing like what the Lord's Supper is. So Paul stops and he pauses and he tells them, listen, guys, think about what you're doing. Remember the cross. Remember the whole reason you are gathering together. Think about what Jesus told you to focus on when you gather. This was a time to focus on Jesus, not on yourselves. So over the next few verses, Paul reminds them of what Jesus had told them what the Lord's Supper was going to be. And these several verses are very, very important. So important that we're going to take over the next couple, in 2 weeks, we're going to focus just on these verses. Because often when we take the Lord's Supper, these next few verses are what we use and what we look at to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us. So let me read over them today. But in a couple of weeks, we'll take a lot of time to focus in on what these verses mean. Verse 23 says this, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. What I'm receiving is, what I'm sharing with you is something I received. And what is that? That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This is an amazing passage. This is what the Lord's Supper was supposed to be all about. But imagine what was going on in the Corinthian church family. They just finished lunch. It was not a fun lunch to be in, especially if you didn't have much food. Part of the church family was filling themselves up. They were full. They were partly drunk. It was just like gorging themselves and the other part. And they're despising the other guys. And the other guys are hungry still. They're feeling shame and embarrassment because they don't have a lot. They're resenting the other guys because of how they're being treated. They finish their meal. They're all mad at each other, don't care about each other. And now they are getting ready to take the Lord's Supper together. Not the best way to approach the Lord's Supper. Now is when they are supposed to be equal at the foot of the cross as receivers of the grace of Jesus' sacrifice, right? That is not what they are doing. And so, what happens when you go to the Lord's Supper that way? What is the effect of going to the Lord's Supper the way the Corinthian church family did? Verse 27 tells us what it is. Verse 27 says this, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," if you do it that way, "shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." If that's how you choose to approach the Lord's Supper, in a way that instead of displaying the glory of Jesus in how he has saved and redeemed us, if we decide not to do it that way and we display the exact opposite of that, this division, self-centeredness, a lack of care for the ones that Jesus gave his life for, that's sinful. That's sin. You're literally sinning in the way we take the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, don't let that happen. Don't do that. Do not. It's not that you don't take the Lord's Supper, but rather that you learn to take it the right way. Don't not take the Lord's Supper. Learn to take it the right way. How do you do that? Verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let everyone examine yourself, himself." There is a self-responsibility in taking the Lord's Supper. It means that you think about what you have done, what you have been thinking, doing a heart check. Guess who knows your heart the best? You. You know your heart. And you are the one who can best examine it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important to see the goal of your heart examining. Why do you examine it? So that you can take the Lord's Supper. Paul isn't saying, listen, guys, don't take the Lord's Supper. He's saying, no, learn how to approach the Lord's Supper in the right way so that you can take the Lord's Supper in the right way. This is something you do as a part of how you approach the Lord's Supper. It's a part of the process of approaching the Lord's Supper. And if you don't have that as part of the process, it's going to be easy to take the Lord's Supper in a lighthearted, nonchalant, easy-to-go way that takes away from the reason why we take the Lord's Supper in the first place. It is to remember Jesus. What happens? Verse 29 and verse 30 says this, "For he that drinketh," or "eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Verse 30. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." This is pretty serious. If we approach the Lord's Supper the right way, if we do it the right way, if we examine ourselves, if we judge our heart with a humble heart, if we do it that way, then there is no fear of being judged by our Father. But if we don't, then we will be judged. But here's the amazing thing. Let me think about this. The Corinthian church weren't doing that heart check. They weren't checking themselves. They weren't asking themselves, hey, is my heart in the right spot? Am I thinking about this? Is my relationship with Jesus good? Is my relationship with my brothers and sisters good? How is that bond? Am I unified? They weren't doing the heart check. They weren't judging themselves. And because they weren't judging themselves like they were supposed to, their Heavenly Father was judging them instead. You guys, have you ever done this? You ever gotten a fight with your brothers and sisters? Like you're fighting each other, and then you're like, oh man, we shouldn't have done that. Dude, I'm so sorry. And you're like, oh man, no, you know what? I shouldn't have taken that toy. I'm sorry, I should have asked you. We forgive you? Yeah, I forgive you. We forgive you? Yeah, I forgive you. Guess what happens? your dad doesn't get mad. But you know what happens when you don't do that? He was taking my toy. No, he was taking my toy. All right, both of you are going to get it, right? This was literally what was happening in the church family. There was no reconciliation. There was no approaching the Lord's Supper knowing that I'm getting ready to take the Lord's Supper. Man, you know what? I kind of messed up and I kind of hurt you and I'm really sorry about that. Oh, it's okay, man. I love you, bro. Hey, all right, give me a hug. All right, man, that's cool. Okay, let's take the Lord's Supper together. There was none of that. They were like, oh, they should have done better. No, he should have done better. And then they're going to approach the Lord's Supper and God's like, nuh-uh, both of you are getting it. That's kind of like the aspect of it. If you don't want to be judged by your father, judge yourself. And God's judgment was interesting. Some were getting sick. The reason they were getting sick was because, literally the reason for it, was because they didn't approach the Lord's Supper in the right way. For some, it was enough that God was ready for their time on earth to be done. It's time for you to go home. This is important to your Heavenly Father. It is the sacrifice of His Son. For us who were rebellious, who were not worthy of it, this is His Son that we are talking about, and God expects us to take this seriously, with joy, with thanksgiving, but not lightheartedly. Not casually, not like it's no big deal. If it's that serious for our Father, then it should be serious for us. Taken with joy and thanksgiving, but not lightly. What happens if we judge ourselves? Verse 31 and 32, went ahead here. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, right? But here's an amazing thing. Verse 32 says this, and this is awesome. And shows the mercy and grace of God, even in this. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. When God judges you, even here, when it's like, man, this is my son you're talking about here? Why are you approaching this so casually? Even here, God judges us like a dad does with his children. Not like a creator with a rebellious sinner. This is amazing. This is an amazing promise. Even if God does judge us, it is the way a father chastens his child rather than the way a sinner is judged by his creator. There's a difference. God chastens the ones he loves to help them, even when they get to the point where he has to call them home, where he has to turn the car around, if you know what I'm talking about. He brings them home to be with him, right? That's amazing, isn't it? And so, Paul's challenge to the Corinthian church, verse 33, verse 34. Okay, guys, here's how you do it when you get together for the Lord's Supper. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. Don't be going ahead of everybody else, eating all your food, getting all fat and everything like that, getting all drunk and everything like that. Don't do that. Wait for one another. Share with each other. Verse 34. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. If you're that hungry that you got to just wait and you're not going to even wait for your brothers and sisters, just eat at home. Don't even bother trying to come to church. Just go home and eat instead of waiting for your brothers and sisters. If you're that hungry, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye together come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Those are scary words. We'll talk about the rest later on. That's kind of like, wait till your dad gets home and then we're going to have a conversation, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically where Paul was at. Listen, guys, how you take the Lord's Supper is not good because you're too self-centered. Approach this time. This is a special time. Approach it by checking your heart. Examine yourself. You judge your heart to see if there's anything hindering your relationship with you or your church family. And then, in a spirit of humility and thankfulness to Jesus, your Savior, take part in the Lord's Supper together as ones who are at the foot of the cross. For the Corinthian church family, this described how they took the Lord's Supper together and how they shared that together, right? examining their hearts to see if they were too self-centered in how they shared the meal. For us, it's good that we too examine our hearts before the Lord's Supper as well. Examine how we interact with one another and make sure that we too, together as a church family and individually, work together to strengthen our bonds with one another as those who have been redeemed at the foot of the cross because of the sacrifice Jesus has made. That when we gather together, we can thankfully, joyfully remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us to bring us together. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for an amazing reminder of how we are to display your love by reflecting that through our brothers and sisters. Help us to display that love well in a way that glorifies you. Help us to examine our hearts before we come to this very special occasion where we get to remember the sacrifice that Jesus, you made for us. Help us to see how to approach it in the right way. It happens not just before the Lord's Supper, but continually through our relationships. Help us to remember that and help us to live that out. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen.